You know, at my age, it's not unusual to have the occasional sleepless night. I don't know if you're getting there or not. The aging body can be pretty weird sometimes. And we get sleep where we can, right? But occasionally I have a sleepless night for a reason. And occasionally that reason is sheer anxiety. It doesn't happen as much as it happened earlier in life for me, but I had one such night last December. You know, we were waiting for some paperwork to come in for our church mortgage. And this paperwork was just as we transitioned from a temporary brief mortgage into a more permanent situation. It's a little bit different than a personal mortgage. And so we were just waiting for that paperwork. And our biggest stress on that was just knowing that we got to turn this around, you know, during the Christmas season, because it was happening during December. And we didn't want to miss the boat on that, make sure our ducks were in a row and we got everything turned around and handed back to them. But what we received when we got that paperwork was a $3,000 increase in monthly payments on that mortgage. That's not a $3,000 mortgage. It's a $3,000 increase on what we were already paying, a little hard to take, and an added $750,000 of investment, which we did not have, and a handful of other requirements as well. We got that, and I just felt sick to my stomach, to be honest with you. This wasn't even a how are we going to do this moment. This was a okay, we can't possibly do this, what's going to happen moment. You ever had one of those? And I was struggling with that. Were we going to default on the loan? Were we going to get the building repossessed? And if we did, where are we going to meet? And are people going to follow us around like they did during COVID when we had to go from building to building? Are we going to have to fire staff? Are we going to have to fire me? I mean, these are serious concerns of ours. That's okay. Round and round it goes, though, right? When you're laying there at night trying to figure out a way to get to sleep, 1 a.m. goes by and 2:30 a.m. goes by, and by this point you're going, I have to get some sleep, which raises your stress level, which means you're not going to sleep. So 3:30, 4 o'clock comes around. I finally dozed off a little bit that night. The nights got a little easier after that. But I got to be honest with you, one night's sleep is not all I lost. There was just something going on. Now, we were in the middle of the Christmas season, and we took great joy in that, of course, as we do, because it is the Epiphany, right? This is Jesus. This is God's Son coming in fleshly form. And so we were celebrating that together, and I do believe we put a lot into that. But at the same time, I had this nagging anxiety in the background going on. And my biggest disappointment in that anxiety is that it was so worldly. It was just not what I want to be thinking about all the time, and not what I want to distract me all the time. It's just so temporary. I knew it was distracting me from good things. I knew it was distracting me from spiritual things and the eternal. And I know what Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18. For the things that are seen are transient or temporary, your translation might say. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And we know that. That doesn't mean that we don't get distracted every once in a while, though. This stuff around us is temporary, isn't it? It's not going to be here in eternity. At least I don't think eternity is going to have mortgages. If it does, I got to question what heaven's all about, because that's not my version of heaven. I don't know what yours is. No more mortgages, right? That's the least of our concerns, I suppose. But we've been talking a little bit about, over the past few weeks, about what happens when we allow money to become a monster in our lives. And money itself is inanimate, right? It has no life of its own. It's neither good nor bad. It's not alive. It doesn't have a motive to become a monster in our lives. But as we talked about last week, it's really my heart toward money that opens the door for what it could become if I allow it. And as we learn from Jesus today, it's not always about the accumulation of wealth. We have that temptation, of course, but money affects us in ways that can also bring stress, doesn't it? and anxiety and deadlines and worries that we have in this temporary world we live in. We looked at Jesus' teaching in the second half of Matthew chapter 6, so we're going to be there again today. So if you have your Bibles or your device or your app, if you don't mind opening to Matthew chapter 6, right in the middle of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 25, verse 26 says this: "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Now you might find that familiar. We just read through that during the communion meditation. Owen read through the whole paragraph. I encourage you to review that. We're going to highlight a couple of verses here this morning. Don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now, immediately in this little paragraph we're starting to read here, we come across the word therefore. And what's the rule about the word therefore when you come across it in Scripture? If you see therefore, you got to ask what it's there for, right? Because it means that something has just been said. So what has just been said previously in that chapter? We touched on it a little bit last week, didn't we? Jesus said, where your treasure is where your heart will also be. And there's only room for one Lord on the throne of your heart. You can't serve both God and money. And the implication, of course, that we derive from that is you can't serve anything else and God. It just doesn't work. Therefore, he says in our passage today, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat or drink, what you'll wear. And we know that that stands the test of time, because you and I likely don't worry about if we're going to eat or if we're going to drink or if we're going to have clothing to wear. But we do worry a lot about these three things still, don't we? We put a lot of time and effort into what we're eating and drinking and wearing. Still, you know, we're 21st century beings. We're Christians who live in this day and age, and just because that's in there doesn't mean we're risking anything. But we have a lot of other things in life that creep in that make us anxious that I think are just as applicable. So don't worry about your life, Jesus might say to us now, how you're going to pay your tax bill, what portion of the hospital stay the insurance won't cover, or dare I say, how you're going to pay the church mortgage or your own mortgage. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And the spoiler alert is, you are. That is a rhetorical question. And once again, Jesus changes our perspective on what provides for our needs to who it is that provides our needs. Look at verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? This is an interesting usage of the original Greek language. Actually can mean a couple of different things, and the interpreters have done a good job. This is exactly what it means, but it can mean, which is funny to me, about height, stature. Which of you, by dreaming about being taller, can end up taller? We kind of get the ridiculous point, don't we? Maybe when you were in middle school, guys especially, you were dreaming about being a little taller. But it doesn't help to be anxious about it. It doesn't help to worry about it, does it? So the interpreters did the right translation, because it could mean either one. Which of you, I mean, when you're thinking about your lifespan, does worrying about it add to your lifespan? Of course not. That's the rhetorical question. But here's the point. Here's the point. Anxiety can drain my soul of the abundant life that Jesus has for me. Amen? And Jesus' abundant life for me has nothing to do with money or the lack of it. It has everything to do with resting in his ability to provide exactly what I need. That's the point, isn't it? Which is why Jesus concludes with this statement about anxiety and possessions in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, what are all these things? Well, he's just been talking about food and drink and clothing. But our 21st century interpretation of that could include all these things, your mortgage payments, your tax bills, and your insurance gap, and your university's field of majors, right? All of those things, all of the ifs, and all of the how cans, and all of the if onlys that we can throw at him, he can handle it. Our job is to seek Jesus and what he is doing and not worry to the point of exhaustion over what might or might not be coming. That is not our job. That is his job. And that doesn't mean it doesn't come to mind, but we invest in our relationship with Jesus, not our relationship with all these things around us. Oh, by January of this year, excuse me, our leadership had already been praying about our mortgage shock for a month or so. And, you know, if we have learned anything as a leadership, it's that often when we come against something this big or this shocking or this whatever is concerning, and we're often at a loss for words, as I'm sure you come across those things in life. We have learned together as a leadership that when we come with something that big and we don't have an answer, that we need to stop and we need to be quiet and we need to pray. And hardest of all, sometimes we just need to wait. Wait on the Lord. Figure out how he is involved in this and figure out how we're going to let him take it over. Because it's when we get in the business of acting like, well, you know, we're the leaders. We're supposed to lead here, so how do we lead? Let's go make a decision. That's always worked out well. Sometimes we just need to wait. And, you know, we ask you to pray about that as well. Pray with us while we're going through this process because it's concerning. And, you know, and during that time, a few truths came clear to us. First of all, the Lord will provide. Amen. He always has. He always will. We've seen it time and time again. Secondly, if the Lord doesn't want us to have this building, we're at peace with that. Because it can become an idol, can't it? It can be distracting to us. We don't want that if he doesn't. We're okay with it. And thirdly, this is the silver lining attitude, the glass half full attitude. We have an amazing opportunity to watch God work. What's he going to do? Because I can't do anything. That is really uncomfortable, yet faith building to be in that crucible. And we actually said this statement together as we came together to pray about it. You know, wouldn't it be something if God just made our new situation a lower interest than our past one? Because the reason that the payment went up $3,000 is because the percentage went through the roof. So we had already done our homework. We reached out to other institutions and negotiated with our current lender and set up an appraisal, did all the things you've got to do to set up for it. We weren't just praying, but we knew we were just opening the doors for the Lord to work, right? And by mid-January, we had secured a new loan, we had secured a new lender, and we had a shorter term, and as God often does, we had a lower interest rate. We were just kind of laughing about that. But we knew it was just like God to do that, to be able to do that. Now listen, I want to make something clear this morning. I'm not here to testify that God provides all the money that we ever need every time we ask for it. That's not the point. I am here to testify that my life was full of anxiety in December when I really should have been seeking Jesus and his kingdom first. And something that I woke up with this morning on my heart as I read through this again and prep for our time together this morning, I kind of was. In December, I'm only talking about my experience. You can talk to the leaders about theirs, but I was really struggling with, Lord, your kingdom first. Give up building if we got to. Do what we got. I was trusting in the Lord, and I think the point that I wanted to make this morning is it was still hard. I still had anxiety, and I want to make this further point. The reason I get emotional about that is because I've walked with so many of you through things that have nothing to do with money but require the same kind of faith. I've walked with you during times where, yeah, maybe it might have been the loss of a job or the increase of a mortgage or business situation that was tough, but I've also walked with many of you who are grieving over the loss of a loved one or grieving over a ruined relationship or a marriage that ended or a you name it. All these difficulties we face in life, we face them no less than anyone who does not follow Jesus. The difference is that we're in relationship with Jesus where our faith must be, and the reality is we can have that faith in Jesus and still struggle. And it reminds me of the father who came to Jesus to ask for healing for his son. And he knew he had faith in Jesus to heal him. And Jesus questioned him about that faith. And the man said, Lord, I believe, yet help me with my unbelief. Because even in my faith, I know my faith is not sufficient. It's only the one in whom my faith is placed who is sufficient. So if you're struggling with that this morning, whether it's financial or relationship or the loss of a loved one or anything else that you're facing in life, if it's hard, that's because we live in this fallen world and we admit together with you, it's hard. But Jesus, he asks us to trust not in ourselves, not in others around us, not in our circumstances, but to fully trust in him as our provider. If I am able to invest in that, put my trust in what God wants for me and for us, if I display that sort of faith, Jesus will make up for the rest, and he will give me the peace that I'm looking for, that I should be anxious for nothing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, what are all those other things? Well, he's been talking about all those other things in our lives. Look, seeking the kingdom first is not deal making. If I seek God, he's going to bless me with money and possessions and all I've ever wanted. That's not what this means. But this is promise making. That if I seek the Lord Jesus first in my life, then he will bring me peace. Anxiety over money doesn't have to become a monster in my life. Paul wrote to the Philippian church in chapter 4, verse 5, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now that sounds like a good night's sleep. And what's Paul's advice to get us there? What's Paul's advice for me that I should open myself up to that? Well, it's three different things. First of all, it's prayer. And prayer is not what we often think of when we read it in our scriptures. When we talk about prayer, you come across the word prayer in scripture. It's primarily worship. It's not the laundry list of things we have. Lord, do this for me. Lord, do this for me. Lord, genie in a bottle. It's not what prayer is. Prayer is primarily worship. And we think of worship as when we gather together here and Nathan plays a guitar and we sing. Yeah, that's a form of worship. Jesus tells us that everything in our life can be worship. And so when we go before the Lord in prayer, are we beginning with Him and not us? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praise you for who you are. That's first. Then, after we've placed the Lord back on the throne where he belongs, we come to supplications, which is our laundry list. It's not that he doesn't want to hear our laundry list. He knows we have concerns, and he's more concerned about each of those things than even we are, maybe from a different perspective, but we make our requests known to him. And the key is we sandwich it at the end with what? Thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is often not what we think it is either. Thanks, Lord, for everything you've done. Yeah, it's everything behind me, everything that God has already done. We thank him for it. It's right now where I'm at. Thank you, Lord. And maybe even most importantly, I'm thanking the Lord for what he will do, because I know that it will be for the best, that I can trust in his goodness, that I know he will supply for me and be there for me. You know, you can't really know the goodness of Christ until you're in a relationship with him, and you can't really be in a relationship with him without first surrendering to him for salvation. So if it's time for you to repent and surrender to him this morning, we'd love to talk to you about how you can do that this morning. And for those of us already in a relationship with Jesus, we learn together, don't we, that repentance and surrender is a daily process. We do it every morning, every time our feet hit the floor. We do it every night when we go to bed. You know, if you need to make a step of repentance and surrender today, we'd love to walk alongside you in that, because we're all walking that same journey together. We want to be an encouragement and a support to you in that. We are meant to live a life of abundant dependence on Jesus and who he is. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, for the richness that we find in it. And we thank you, Father, because you communicate to us not just in your written word, but by your Holy Spirit to our spirits on knowing who Jesus is. And Father, we confess before you this morning that we don't always think well about that, who Christ really is, not just Savior, but Lord in our hearts and of our lives. And so, Father, we're talking about money here, but we really know we could be talking about almost anything that we're dealing with this morning. Trusting in you, putting your kingdom first, means knowing that you're there in the future, providing and waiting for us. That we can cast all our cares on you, that you will alleviate the anxiety that keeps us up at night, and you can bring us peace that passes all understanding simply by our relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray for those in the room who have never stepped into that relationship, that today might be the day that they do that. And, Father, for all of us who are in that relationship, that we continue to surrender and submit to you in repentance every single day, knowing that it's a process, it's a marathon. It's a chance for us over the months and weeks and years, Father, to be more like Christ every day. Not that we get that perfectly in our lives, Father, but we go further and further and deeper into that personal relationship, trusting in you as our provider. We give that to you this morning and ask you to work in our hearts. In Jesus' name.